The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A few months ago, there was a going away party for a guy named Bob Bozek at a Manhattan bar where he's worked for decades. Bozek was the kind of colorful bartender that we sometimes describe as a fixture. He was a former boxer, a former bank robber, and he drew a crowd with an outsized personality and a million stories that he was happy to regale you with. Bozek was 65, but that's not why he retired. For years, he'd been fighting to reclaim a mansion in Serbia. It was on the fanciest street in Belgrade, and his family had lost it 70 years ago. He didn't know anybody there. He didn't speak a word of Serbian. I'm going to let Nick Paumgarten, a staff writer at The New Yorker, take it from there.
So on December 30th, just before New Year's, I got a text from Bob, first in a while. It read, "Since you were in the beginning of this parade, I leave January 11 for 4 months in Belgrade, moving into my house around January 15. The f***ing Balkans. Best to you and yours."
How the hell did you get in here?
I got waves.
Hey. I'm Bob. Eric, didn't I say goodbye to you already?
I was introduced to Bob by a colleague who thought he'd make a good story. Actually, it was Bob who thought that he, Bob, would make the good story. Here was a New York character who wanted me to write about him. We get a lot of those.
Yeah, you look like a f***ing tourist.
Anyway, so we met up and went to some Brazilian place and ate and had a couple of beers. And I'm thinking, this guy is full of it.
So we're driving through the Kurdish territory of Turkey. So we're eating, but I like to eat. They have kebab, lamb kebabs. Most people eat one, some eat two. Oh, I had three. And then the leader of the whole thing says, he goes, "Order more." I ate so many goddamn kebabs. Some guy had a couple of kebabs. Just to emphasize the point being Bob, I reached over and took his last ones off his plate and stuck them in my mouth.
Bob can outtalk anyone you've ever met. But the crazy thing is, his stories are actually true. They check out.
I thought I was going to die. You ever overeat? I don't know.
Bob's father was an inventor. Rich, successful, connected. But after the Second World War, the communists accused him, the father, of collaborating with the Germans. And the Bozeks fled to Canada. So Bob was born in Ontario in 1950. But his father split just a few days later. He left the family. His mother couldn't take care of the baby, so she gave him away to a foster family.
And I lived in a foster home until I was 9. Then my mother took me back. I didn't want to be there, so I was furious. So I obviously became who I became during that year. I decided, we're all alone. From that day on, you couldn't discipline me.
Bob ran away from home, or whatever home was, when he was 14. He lived on the streets of Toronto, homeless, stealing bologna and checking payphones for change.
End up in Toronto, a gangster met me. He happened to own a boxing gym. Turns out I could fight, and then I became a fighter.
All this checks out, too. The gangster's name was Bertie Mignacco, and he's the one who found Bob on the street and took him in. Bob started working for the guy, running numbers, collecting debts. He also began boxing, and soon was working his way up the ranks.
My nickname was the landlord in boxing. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, my landlord.
Eventually, Bob won the Canadian National Amateur Heavyweight Championship. And then he went pro, and he fought some big bouts. He fought Larry Holmes in Madison Square Garden.
When I was fighting Larry Holmes, I realized I'll never be this good.
He was beaten, badly. And that was the beginning of the end of his boxing career. And the beginning of the next chapter.
I look down the board, Madrid. I'll go to Madrid. What's the difference? So I went to Spain, started a whole life. So I lived in Europe. I ended up in Istanbul. That's when I started driving trucks to Afghanistan. I met some people who hooked me up with some people. And then...
Because you're in the Kurdish territory.
Remember talking about the kebabs?
I once asked Bob if there were any unknown unknowns, things I should know about. Like if he'd ever got in trouble with the law. He hemmed and hawed a bit, and then he said that he'd robbed banks. Well, then he said, wait, I robbed one bank, because he'd only been busted robbing one bank. So he was caught robbing one bank. He was unarmed, but almost an apology, he gave the teller a pair of tickets to see Oklahoma on Broadway. This was in the police report. And then, after all that, he lands at Finelli's, a saloon in Lower Manhattan. For the next 25 years, he tended bar. Meanwhile, communism fell. Yugoslavia broke up. Serbia became a country. And Bob got an idea.
How are you flying over tonight? What airline?
I'm flying to Vienna, and I got extra leg room.
I met Bob at Finelli's one last time. He quit his job, moved out of his apartment in Brooklyn, and he was getting on a plane for Serbia later that night. So, Serbia. Almost 100 years ago, Bob's father invented an air brake system that revolutionized train travel. The Bozics had a yacht, apartment complexes, a timber farm, a coal mine, a cook, a nanny, a driver, and this house on Krunska Street, Belgrade's Fifth Avenue. Really, it's more of a palace than a house. Anyway, the communists took it in 1946, and for the last 10 years, Bob has been trying to get it back.
Describe the house.
Okay, it's four stories high. It's 7,400 square feet. It's got a beautiful atrium in the back. Got two gates. It's limestone. There's a stairway, two stairways rising to a terrace.
There's a big emotional element to all this. It's the house he never had, a connection to the father who abandoned him, to the old country he never really had any connection to, except in name, or maybe in his stories. It's a homecoming to a home that never was. So, how is this even possible? For a bartender, ex-boxer, convicted bank robber, to lay claim to one of the nicest houses in Belgrade? Politics. Global politics. Serbia has been trying to join the European Union. To do so, it has had to follow restitution laws regarding property taken, quote-unquote, illegally by the communists.
The courts have given me back the house. The one in charge, they're called the restitution. They're fighting everybody.
Now, Bob is a tenacious dude. That's what made him a good fighter and what has made him so dogged at pressing his case with the Serbians, who haven't exactly been eager to say, here, take it, it's yours.
They've had to deal with me. I've been at them every few years. Everybody, why do you keep doing this? Like, you know, because this is what I do. You know, you want to, as Larry said, I broke my nose, knocked my teeth, I kept coming, because that's what I do. I keep coming, you know. Everything was just a preparation for the final f***ing fight, and this is my final fight.
But what do you know? He's done it. In the last few months, he's gotten almost all the necessary approvals from the various levels of government. Almost all. The Serbs seem to come up with new hurdles every day.
So you're going to go over there. You're going to land and you're going to land at the airport.
I'm going to land at the airport.
And what's the first thing you're going to do?
Go to my small hotel. Then the first thing I'm going to do is meet my lawyers.
They're Serbian lawyers.
They're both Serbian lawyers. And I hired a new lawyer whose mother was the mayor of Belgrade a few years ago with the Democratic Party, the ones that were in the house, who are leaving by today. Today they're supposed to be out by.
Today.
That's my agreement.
For a while, the house on Krunska Street was the Iraqi embassy. Starting in the late 90s and until the end of last year, it was the headquarters for the Democratic Party, the center-left faction in Serbia that plotted the defeat of Milosevic. For a time, the Bozic House was the seat of power in Belgrade. So there's a lot of public sentiment surrounding it. It's more than just a nice house. And here's Bob, an American, essentially kicking the Democratic Party out.
So the idea is you're going to get there, and supposedly there's going to be a ceremony or something.
Yes.
Where they're going to turn it over to you.
Yes. You saw the key, right?
No, I haven't seen the key.
You want to see the key?
Yeah, let's see.
Here's the key to the house. They're going to present it to me, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Is it the actual key, or is it like a ceremonial key?
Wait a second. Jeez, Nick, here's this. You know. There is what they're presenting me with. That key.
That key. That key ain't going to open a door.
It looks like confectionery chocolate coated with candy.
Like a tennis racket.
They're going to give me this key to my house.
Let's say they let you in the house. You're going to move in?
Yeah.
Let's say...
Yeah, I'm going to buy a bed, lamp, chair, pillows, and anything, or a tent.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be on the front floor, right at the front door. Because you know what I bought? I bought first time for years. I bought pajamas. Wait a second.
Vesna here. Jose, back here. Alex, what are you doing? Get over here.
Vesna, Bob's daughter, and Alex, Bob's ex-wife, come to say goodbye. Vesna is everything to Bob. He tears up just saying her name.
Hi.
Alex is Vesna's mother. Alex was also Barack Obama's first serious girlfriend in college. The Serbians, not surprisingly, have made a big deal out of this. But anyway, miraculously, Alex and Bob are still close.
What happens after that?
What do you think of his going away to do this?
I think it's something Bob felt that he has always wanted to do and had to do.
Are you worried for him?
I mean, I am a little bit. I don't think it's the safest place. And then the idea of Bob in a big house with no furniture but a mattress and some sheets and a lamp. Yes. And his books.
And pajamas.
Bob had said he wanted me to stay in touch with him in case something were to happen. I'd be the one to bear witness.
You have imagined scenarios. You've even told me how it would go down if it were to go down.
He's got the story.
You must be nervous, too, because you gave me an envelope to not be opened.
Yes. Vesna, don't look like that. Nothing's going to happen.
What's in the envelope? I don't know. It's addressed to you, but it's not to be opened. In case, unless what, you die?
No, not die. In case I insult some people, you know, and I hurt their feelings. Vesna, you'll be fine. Don't worry, you're my daughter. You grew up.
Okay. Yeah. This is the first I'm hearing of it. I have no idea what it is.
Just a lot of things. I'll tell you where the diamonds are. And then you say, don't let your mummy hear this.
Yeah, that's what's in the envelope. It's a big pile of diamonds. Yeah.
Bob may joke about the diamonds, but the real treasure is that house, if and when he gets it. And while his pursuit of it has been about his heritage, his journey, closure, and all that kind of stuff, the house is also a heck of a piece of real estate. He may just turn around and sell it. He's not a big money guy. He's never really owned anything, except for his life stories, if anything. But he'd like to leave something for Vesna. And here's the house where his story began, or maybe even where he'd like it to end. He's already started talking about other places. He has this fantasy, this image of himself, sailing off into the sunset on a boat full of books.
I'm leaning toward Nova Scotia, also between northern Morocco, get a boat, get all my books, just tons of books. I want to live someplace where I can finish up making some kind of sense. I can't make sense of this life, so I'd like to send somebody's interpretation.
Once you're out of New York, we'll never be the same.
Sigh of relief. Where are we going for breakfast, lunch? You want to go to the egg shop or you want to go to dim sum? Egg shop's a nice steak place.
Bob Bozek, speaking with The New Yorker's Nick Paumgarten.